Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust over 40 years of experience providing innovative pension solutions. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Now, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has criticised the country's pandemic response and ordered the army to help distribute medicine. State media said 50 people had died since first reporting an outbreak of COVID-19 last week. More than 1 million people have taken ill by what's being described as a fever, despite Kim ordering nationwide lockdowns in a bid to slow the spread of the disease. But for more on this, we're joined now by Aidan Foster-Carter, Honorary Senior Research Fellow in Sociology and Modern Korea at Leeds University. And you're very welcome to the programme, Aidan, this evening.
Thank you very much.
So after 2 years of denying that they had any cases at all of COVID-19, then last week North Korean officials confirmed that actually there had been a COVID outbreak in the country recently. Why do you think they're telling us about it now?
I think that it's gone beyond the point of denial. I mean, as with everything about North Korea, nobody knows for sure, but I think most of us thought that despite their efforts, which were draconian, but they were all, you know, closing the border to goods pretty much as well as people. But I think most of us thought that, especially with the Omicron variant, that it had got in somehow. Maybe there were local outbreaks. It's clear there's now something much bigger. I mean, they're admitting to pretty big figures. A million is 4% of the population, if I've done my maths right. And it's gone beyond the point where even a regime like this, which normally only tells good news, both to its own people and to the world, it's gone beyond the point where they can deny it, because obviously everybody knows someone who's got it, and they now have to get a bit real.
And of course, a factor in this is likely to be the fact that North Korea is one of the few countries in the world that actually didn't implement any vaccination program.
That's absolutely right. And that's the criminal thing. So to be honest, although as an analyst you try to stay factual and neutral, my blood does boil slightly when Kim Jong-un starts scapegoating. I'm sure that the working level medical and pandemic and epidemiological officials are working there. I can't say that, can they? Are working very hard to do their best. But who on earth took the decision? Only North Korea and Eritrea, sometimes called the North Korea of Africa, took this really criminally irresponsible decision to put all their eggs in the basket of keeping it out. And, of course, they haven't kept it out. So a population already vulnerable with a not very good health service are unvaccinated. And goodness knows what will happen now.
And dealing with Omicron, and we all know from our own experiences what that could look like, or we don't really know for an unvaccinated population what that could look like. And they were offered vaccines, weren't they? I mean, even from China, they were offered
goodness
vaccines.
Goodness me, yes. They could have had their pick. I mean, the WHO was offering, China was offering. I think they know. I mean, China, of course, is North Korea's sort of last friend left. But I think the North Koreans know, as the rest of us do, that the Chinese vaccines aren't actually quite as good. And South Korea, which has just had a change of government, and both the old one, which was left-leaning and would have done anything North Korea wanted, more or less, but Kim Jong-un spurned them for 3 years, having had some summits in 2018, but it all went pear-shaped. Now the conservatives have got back in, so to say, but the new president, Yoon Suk-yeol, has also offered vaccine help, but he couldn't even get the North Koreans to accept the message today. So it's a puzzle, and it's irresponsible, I think.
And of course, Kim has, up to this point, he's been putting himself front and centre of the whole response to COVID-19, overseeing all these daily emergency Politburo meetings on the outbreak, which he has said is causing great upheaval in the country. So he's very close to it, really, isn't he? He's put himself very close to it.
That's very much his style. He takes, quite consciously, takes after his grandfather, Kim Il-sung. Older listeners will remember he was the founding leader of North Korea. In between came this Kim's father, Kim Jong-il. It's hard keeping up with all these Kims I know. And Kim Jong-il really didn't like getting about and pressing the flesh, so he had to do a bit of it. But I think Kim Jong-un seems to really like it. And so in a sense, if you do it in good times, you pretty much have to do it in bad times as well. So whether he'll succeed, I mean, he's got to be seen to be doing stuff. Finally been seen with a mask on, which he hadn't been for a long time. But whether, you know, you do wonder, obviously people mind what they say in North Korea, the penalties are very high. But I imagine that not a few North Koreans will be thinking, why are we not vaccinated? So let's see if he convinces them.
You mentioned the health service and the badly resourced health service. Can you give us any ideas to what this is likely to look like, in an outbreak of Omicron in an unvaccinated country with bad health resources?
It'll look terrible for two separate reasons. One is the facilities. I mean, they have very dedicated professionals. They train a lot of people. But the health sector is desperately under-resourced. I mean, we have, until the pandemic, aid agencies were going in and out helping with tuberculosis, which is endemic. That tells you something. And you know, people talked of hospitals sometimes not having reliable electricity, sometimes not even having water. Never mind when we get up to the stuff like ICUs that we've all become familiar with in the coronavirus. And the second thing, of course, is there's a population that doesn't eat well. They had an actual famine back in the 1990s. 500,000 people died. World Health Organization, or is it World Food Program? Anyway, there are figures that about half the population is malnourished to some degree. So, you know, there'll be comorbidities. People, these are not strong bodies that are going have to face this thing. Mm.
South Korea, you mentioned as well, had offered vaccines in the past. Have they reacted to this news?
No, they refused it. So they've offered it just today. The government did, and the new government of Yoon Suk-yeol, who was only came in less than a week ago, he immediately offered help. But they have, although they do have hotlines that go back and forth between them, but protocol, they offered it publicly. I've seen some suggestions that maybe should have offered it quietly, privately, spare the North Koreans embarrassment. Be that as it may, they haven't officially managed to communicate the message. I mean, obviously, the North Koreans read the South Korean newspapers and they'll know it's being offered, but they're acting all standoffish. I mean, can the ordinary people of North Korea afford this? I don't think so.
Just finally then, Aidan, do you think that the likely reaction at this point, and I know it's impossible really for you to know, but is North Korea likely to go for a sort of a brutal lockdown like what we've seen in China, and would that work, do you think?
They can't. I mean, it's parsing what they say and putting it up against what they do, as always, is difficult. I mean, Kim Jong-un has declared a lockdown in so many words. But if you go up to the border, the somewhat humorously named demilitarized zone, very heavily armed border, you can peer across from South Korea, and people who are in the fields, it's rice transplanting season. You know, there's a lot of economic activity. Agriculture is still a rather important activity there that simply can't be stopped. So there certainly isn't a permanent lockdown, and it couldn't work. You know, this is not a society where everybody's got a laptop. Far from it. There's a bit of an intranet, but not much. So, no, goodness knows what would happen if they tried a lockdown. No, they can't do it.
Okay. Really interesting to speak to you, and thank you very much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you
very much. That's Aidan Foster-Carter joining us there from Leeds University.